This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Captain Ron brought his drone in here.
We got a drone in here now, the Packer and Durham drone. Mark, what do you think?
Well, you know, Captain Ron was flying that thing about a half an hour ago, and the boys, Chester and Fuller, did not care for at all. No. Fuller ran down the hallway looking for a leaf. Chester jumped off the Roger Goodell chair. He's sound asleep now, but they are not thrilled with the drone in here. Oh, Wes, don't, dude. Seriously.
Okay.
Don't go there.
All right.
No.
Thought it might start it up for us.
Now I see that thing blinking over there, which means like Mission Impossible could explode. I mean, Captain Ron was having a hard time keeping it between the ditches in here. We didn't want to ruin the set.
I turned it off.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Yeah. I'm not sure what that thing's going to do. But nevertheless, we got stuff to get into. We got football news. We got basketball news from games last night. Not a great night on the hardwood, Les Durham. Got to be honest with you.
Only a couple games, and neither one went the league's way.
The ladies weren't great last night, and the men were certainly not great last
night. That's right.
To be completely honest with you.
In full disclosure, I like the idea of bigger schools going to mid-major schools in like November and December for road games because I think it helps you once league play begins. I think there's learning experiences for every team. I've heard coach, and Tony Bennett talked about it last night after the game. It's something I think his dad used to do both at Wisconsin and at UWGB back in the day. And I always thought it was look, I've been there at Georgia Tech. We went to Kennesaw State one night and got beat, and they stormed the floor.
They should.
I get it. And last night it happened in Harrisonburg, Virginia, because the Dukes of James Madison and a really fine coach in Mark Byington, his team made Virginia. Virginia didn't help themselves in the first half, down 10 at the break, 24-14. Cavaliers rallied, took the lead, but at the end, James Madison made two tough shots in the last minute of play to ultimately post a 52-49 win. Brand new building. It opened last year during the pandemic, believe it or not. They played in front of nobody. Tony Bennett, the game got canceled last year. It was supposed to be a dedication game, Mark. And Tony Bennett went back over this year to play the game. Again, credit to the Virginia coach. But boy, Cavaliers did not look good at all last night. 1 of 9 in the first half shooting threes.
When you put a 14 spot in the first half, that would even be considered low for football. But when you're playing men's basketball or basketball period, that is not going to get it done. You can't put a 14 spot in the first half and go, hey, we're good.
Right.
Virginia, again, we've played 10 games now. The Hoos are 6-4. And, you know, they've always been offensively challenged, even the great teams at Virginia, right?
Sure.
They play with great defense and great intensity on that end of the floor. And then you just hope to be efficient on the offensive side. Right now, Tony Bennett's looking for answers on the offensive end.
Right.
And they have really struggled. I mean, struggled scoring the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hold somebody to 52, you like your chances to win the game. But when you're only putting a 14 spot up the first half, good luck with that. You're going to have a hard time winning any games shooting the basketball the way they are. So 6-4 through 10, there is a lot of work to be done in Charlottesville. I mean, a lot of work. And, you know, I said to you yesterday, we're at the quarter pole. And you're like, we are. I mean, teams have played 10 games now. So you're starting to get a sense of really who you are. Now, I expect Virginia to get better just because Tony Bennett's such a great coach. But I look at that team offensively, Wes, and, man, there's just question marks all over the place with the Hoos.
Yeah, and, I mean, here's the thing. When you look, Virginia's – going to get back in action. I want to double check here, make sure I got this right. Cavaliers are on the exam week, so they take the weekend off, I believe. Yep, I don't see Virginia on the schedule for the weekend. So you're going to sit around for 10 days or so before you play again. And in some cases, you want to go play. But now you got to change gears here. You go through the academic side of the thing, which is pretty important, obviously. But at the same time, golly, I mean, we're into conference play. We're getting ready to get really into conference play here on the other side of the holidays.
Like I said, you're 6-4.
I mean,
right now, I know Seth Greenberg was on with us yesterday and was kind of going through the rest of the league, but you'd have to say right now, do you think Virginia is an NCAA tournament team? If you're being honest with yourself, you'd say not based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, again, I'm not putting dirt on Virginia. It'd be stupid given Tony Bennett's pedigree.
Right.
But, man, they're going through a really tough stretch. And I just don't know what the answers could be on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 6-4, and that includes a win against Pittsburgh last Friday night that was just a gift from the gods. And that was at home.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, they were staring at 5-5
no
after
question.
Last night.
There's no doubt. And for the folks at JMU, hey, I'd celebrate like rock stars too. And they did.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you're right about Tony Bennett saying, hey, listen, we're still going to adhere to the deal and let's go play. And again, great atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Fans are fired up. That will help Virginia down the road when they go on the road. But Virginia's going to walk into buildings, Wes, and people are going to be like, oh, my God, it's Virginia and Tony Bennett. They're going to catch people's A games mm-hmm. because who they are. So that puts even more pressure on a team that right now is just having a ridiculously tough time scoring the basketball.
Cavaliers don't play again until the 18th of December. They'll host Fairleigh Dickinson, and then Clemson comes to JPJ on the 22nd.
Tigers are struggling, too.
Yeah.
They can't hold leads.
Let's go to the Orange of Syracuse last night.
You watched that last night?
I did.
By the way, before we get to the Orange, did you watch the first game, Texas Tech and Tennessee?
I saw the end of the first game.
Holy mackerel. Let me tell you something. Buddy Boeheim, who's shooting 26% from three, and we know he can flat out shoot. He is going through a tough stretch. He goes 3 of 15 last night, and I'm convinced that the Syracuse guys, because that first game went in overtime, and that first game was one of the ugliest college basketball games I have ever seen,
Right. Tennessee, Texas Tech.
Oh, my God. And those are good clubs.
And set the sport back.
Well, it wasn't as bad as, like, the Butler-UConn National Championship game, which was unwatchable basketball involving good teams. That first game last night, neither team could have won the Dr. Pepper chest pass competition. Neither team. They couldn't throw it in the ocean. And I'm convinced that Syracuse and Villanova had to sit there going, man, is this thing going to end? It's going to overtime? Please, let's just do rock. You know, can we do penalty kicks? Can we just get this thing over with and let us come out there? And
right.
I'm convinced everybody had a case of we can't make a shot. I mean, Villanova couldn't throw it in the ocean. They missed 37 threes against Syracuse. Buddy Boeheim's 3 of 15. To tell you how bad the first game was, those teams missed 54 threes combined the first game. 54 threes.
Mm-hmm.
They missed 18 free throws. And then Buddy Boeheim's out there, couldn't beat me in a game of
horse
last
night.
Good
thing we moved the line back, by the way.
It was just one of those things. It was contagious.
Couple of years
nobody can make a shot. Yeah. And so, you know, I know the folks up there in Madison Square Garden, you know, they're used to watching terrible New York Knicks basketball for decades upon decades. But that was difficult last night. And I'm being kind.
Rare NBA insight from Packer this morning in the opening segment.
I'm sorry. The Knicks won a championship in 1971?
No. That's it. Yeah, Clyde Frazier.
And their fans keep talking about how great they are. They won a championship in 50 years.
They're good. Right. It's all tremendous. Good. Villanova shot 26% from three and won the game.
I told you, they missed 37 threes. Now, they dominated Syracuse on the boards because there was nothing but rebounds to be had in both those games.
Right.
But Q still had a chance late. I mean, as ugly as it was offensively, because nobody could make a shot.
Great jerseys, by the way, for Villanova.
Well,
Great jerseys.
I think they're a Final Four team. No, they didn't play like it last night. But Syracuse, man, I jumped on that bandwagon early. They are a weird group now. When they're making threes and shots, they're really good. But there are too many times they're shooting it sideways right now. Now I'm being as kind as I can be.
Yeah. No, I'm here.
I know this is the ACC network, and I got the pom-poms out for the league, but last night was not a pretty sight.
Syracuse, 6-4 now. 5-4 after last night, and they will host Georgetown on Saturday and then a week off before Lehigh. Now, their schedule goes Lehigh on the 18th, Cornell on the 21st, 8 days off. They host Georgia Tech on the 29th. And Virginia on New Year's Day in conference play.
I think right now, Wes, we just did our accounting. We'll have fan accounting later on with hoops and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's about four teams, maybe five, got a sample of the first 10 games where you went, hey, they got a chance to be pretty good. The other 10, I don't know. Man, put them in a bag right now, and your guess is as good as mine. And I'm talking about the Pitts and Notre Dames and Clemsons and Virginias and Georgia Techs and Florida States and NC. You know, you get a dose where you see a little glimmer of light and like, okay. And then you get another glimpse and you go, oh, yay, yay, yay. Let's get to work.
All right. Duke. You got Duke.
I got Duke what?
Duke's in. You would say today if we went to the tournament, Duke would be in.
Yeah. I mean, okay. They're the only ACC team ranked in the AP Top 25.
So after Duke, Carolina?
I think North Carolina the last week's been out of sight. Okay. I loved what they did to Michigan.
All right.
I saw a great defense against Georgia Tech.
Okay.
I like the direction the Heels are going in.
Okay.
I like Virginia Tech, even though they just got spanked by Wake Forest. The Deacs, I want to see a little more awake with Forbes and the guys. I mean, they got 17 new guys, right?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's something there. You've been high on them. I just think they are a team. They're going to have some dips now. But I think Wake Forest with Dallas Walton, to me, the big kid who came over from Colorado, and Seth mentioned it yesterday. Dallas Walton played for Tad Boyle. Alondis Williams played for Lon Kruger. Jake LaRavia played in a good coach, a well-coached Indiana State program. See, he got three guys that understand winning to go with Williamson and Musius. Look, I thought when the year started, if Wake was going to be successful, it was going to be because Isaiah Musius was averaging like 15 or 16 points a game. I'll back off that now. I don't think he has to average 15 or 16 a game. It'd be nice, but it may not happen. But I think Wake Forest, and again, the only game they've played is LSU. They beat Oregon State, which I think is a decent team in the Pac-12. Decent. I think decent. Wayne Tingle does a nice job.
You think they're good?
I think they're decent. I didn't say they're cutting nets down or going to the Final Four. I think Oregon State is not bad. LSU, they lost that game.
You know, they're the number two team in the country.
I'm well aware.
In the net.
Yeah. And then – you know, they're going to get tested here down the road. I mean, Wake's got a few games left. They're going to play. Their non-conference is going to hurt them.
Well, I mean, you got to put Wake in the list because they've gotten off to a decent start. Louisville, they've been weird, right? Louisville lost to Furman, but I thought they looked pretty good against NC State.
Everybody's going to have one.
Well, they're going to be more than one.
Right.
But this is It's hard to put your arms around the league right now and try to figure out what's up from down. I trust Duke. I trust North Carolina. I do like Virginia Tech. I think Wake's shown promise. I think Louisville's got an upside. And then that's where I'm drawing the line right now.
Well, and let me just identify a few things here. I was looking at the look ahead, the next 10 days to 2 weeks of schedules. Giving an example, like Carolina's going to play UCLA this next weekend. A week from now.
We'll worry about that then.
NC State's going to play Purdue Sunday.
That's a loss.
Notre Dame's going to play Kentucky. We already told you Syracuse has played Villanova. I mean, there's some games out there right now that the league has either got to
– Well, do you like NC State against Purdue? I think Purdue's the best team in the country.
I think Purdue's really good. I don't know that NC State – if Manny Bates were playing, it might feel a lot different.
Well, he's not playing.
I know he's not.
So how about that?
I would say it's an uphill fight, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be a real – you like Notre Dame the way they're playing?
Not right now.
Kentucky?
No.
I don't either.
What I'm saying is it goes back to your point, I think 4 or 5 days ago, talking about resume building for the league. And right now it's hard.
It's hard because right now we got 10 teams and I'm not really sure what's going on. That's why.
There you go.
Let me take Tremaine in North Carolina. There He's been go. Holding patiently since Monday. Tremaine, good morning. How are you?
good morning, fellas. Hey, listen, just relax. UVA is going to be just fine. Us UVA fans knew that we were looking at a season like this with a lot of things are figuring out and transfer portal being as chaotic as it is. But guys, just calm down, relax. Our program is going to be fine. And then if I could say something on JMU's fans, like, I understand the pageantry, I understand the passion, you're fired up, UVA's in your building, but have a little class. There was a point when Tony Bennett was saying something to one of the refs, and it was legitimate, I mean, because the wrong call was called, and the fans started chanting FU Tony. Like, that is, like, have some class about yourself. I understand being passionate, and I mean, that man carries the favor of God. But be careful who you slandering. So have a little class about yourself, but we're fine. UVA is going to be fine. Get us while you can, because that recruiting class coming in next year, they're going to make some noise. So get us while you can. Happy holidays, you fellas.
All right, Jermaine. Well, they got you last night while they could. Well, you know, I'm not worried about recruiting classes and all that stuff. You know, you got 10 games into the season, you're 6-4. Like I said, there's a lot of work to be done, not only in Charlottesville, but a lot of ACC places right now. It's been a struggle. It really has.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We got football news. We got basketball news. We got tons of stuff to get into. And the coaching carousel never stops in the month of December.
The great Jen Milkovitz is directing the show today. Jen, can you give me the upper deck camera shot here? Packer always tells you that Fuller likes the human touch. Look at this. I mean, he's right there on the foot.
Yeah. You know, let's make sure you're not going anywhere.
Big fella. How you doing? All right? Everything good? Yeah. Checking in. All right. right here.
That's what he does.
I know. If we fly that drone, he'll be gone.
He did not like the drone.
Yeah, we can fly the Packer and Durham drone this morning. All right, let's get you caught up on the carousel. let's see. We'll start with Mark Whipple.
Yes.
Okay. That offensive news, coordinator at Pittsburgh.
That news
resigned
yesterday. He's not going to be at the bowl.
Right.
We hope to be, but he won't be. all kinds of rumors floating around regarding Nebraska. Who knows what happens on that front?
Yeah, I saw that.
But, you know, did a tremendous job. We enjoyed having him on the program. Obviously, the relationship he had with Kenny Pickett and with Pitt football was tremendous. Goes out as an ACC champion.
Yeah, I would like to talk to some other folks in the coaching business. I have great respect for Mark Whipple. He was an engaging guy. Incredibly insightful. When you went there to do a broadcast, he was beneficial to your production. He talked at length about the processes, and I think he was a big reason Kenny Pickett came back. Okay, I think his frank, candid conversations with Kenny Pickett really, really helped buoy not only the season he had, but the reason he came back for the season. That being said, in my mind, Mark Whipple he's been a lot of places. So there is a time frame maybe where he feels comfortable, and then when something happens and then success calls in one form or fashion, I'm like you, Pack. I've heard the rumors of Nebraska with Scott Frost. Ironically, Adrian Martinez went in the portal this week, the Nebraska quarterback, I think, right?
That is accurate.
So don't know what Nebraska's got up their sleeve, if that in fact is a landing spot. Here's what we do. We wish Mark Whipple well.
Yep.
It's what we do, because he was a benefit to this league this year, and we look forward to finding out where his next stop is.
But will not coach the bowl game against Michigan State. Let me emphasize it.
Okay. I may be the outlier on this. Kenny Pickett could call his own plays in the bowl game.
Well, he might. Might have to.
Yeah. I mean, now I will say this too, and I don't know what Pat Narduzzi's thinking, but if you're going to stay in-house, Brennan Marion appears to be a guy who would be the next in line. Wide receivers coach, highly thought of. Now, there have been some coaches that have left Narduzzi's staff in the last couple of years, gone to the National Football League. Maybe there's an opportunity for one of them to come back to the OC. We'll find out what happens in Pittsburgh. Next stop, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, a little ACC on ACC action here, which seems to be the trend in our league, whether it be ADs, coaches, players, who knows?
None of that AD stuff's official yet.
I know, but I mean, it's just been kind of nuts what's been going on with our conference.
Chris Marv is the new defensive coordinator in Blacksburg for the Hokies. He'll be the conference's youngest DC at 32. Spent 2 years with Mike Norvell as a linebackers coach at Florida State. Justin Hamilton was 37 when he got the job. Bud Foster was 35. When he was handed the reins in a co-role with Rod Sharpless back in 1995, taking over as the sole coordinator the next year. So there you go. Chris Marv, one of like three hires that have been made already by Brent Pry.
You got to put a staff together.
Yep.
You know, it's good to know somebody that knows the league.
There is a connection, by the way, and it goes back to Vanderbilt. Marv played at Vanderbilt when Pry was with James Franklin on the staff. One of the connections. Meanwhile, Clemson, Chris Lowe from ESPN.com says senior defensive assistant Wes Goodwin is a strong candidate to replace Brent Venables at Clemson in a coordinator, co-coordinator role on defense. Goodwin highly respected, and Dabo Swinney knows firsthand that in-house promotions can work out just fine. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know Wes Goodwin. I've heard a lot of – I know this Wes. I don't know that Wes. Yeah. But I've heard great things. But, I mean, you know, I've never put together a staff, and I got to figure Dabo's got a pretty good handle on what works and what doesn't work. And, of course, you have National Signing Day that starts 1 week from today. Mm-hmm. And I think the more that there's a continuity of what you do, terminology, all that stuff, player relationships, the better. Could Clemson go outside the family, per se, and hire a big-time name? Dude, no doubt.
Yeah,
money's never been an issue. You know what their reputation is from a defensive standpoint. So, like I said, Dabo's probably got a pretty good handle on what works for his program.
All right, let's bring you up to date. We got a chart. We got a chart on this show. How about this? Clemson, we don't know. Duke, Steve Weissman of the News and Observer in Raleigh had a story yesterday that Jason Garrett, former Dallas Cowboys head coach, is now a candidate for the Duke job as well. Chip Long has replaced Dave Patenaude. Mario Cristobal announced yesterday. And then you see the vacancies at Pitt, Syracuse, and Virginia. Virginia Tech has Brent Pry as their head coach. So
there'll be more movement coming up. I told you yesterday, as soon as we get this National Signing Day over with, there's always, I mean, traditionally,
you wait.
You see a lot of movement once we have that signing day done.
Yeah.
So I suspect, as goofy and crazy and upside down as college athletics has been the last week and a half at the highest level, what makes you think a week from now we're not going to get more of the same?
Some people are going to be celebrating Christmas by packing boxes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but, you know, that's true. But there's been so much money that people are making just a ton of cash that, you know what, there's still going to be a roof over your head.
Yeah.
So, crazy world, though. I mean, it's upside down.
Got plenty to go. 8 o'clock, Tom Luganville will be here this morning. We'll talk to him about some of these coaching changes, in particular the Mark Whipple scenario and what that means for the bowl game for Kenny Pickett. I'm kind of joking around about Pickett calling his own plays, but I mean, the guy knows the offense, clearly. I mean, you don't have the kind of success he does without.
They're going to watch tape of Michigan State secondary, and Kenny's going to call a passing play 98% of the time. Just go, let's just sling this thing. I'll walk out of here with 600 yards passing and hopefully a W in the Peach Bowl.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Tom Luganville coming up 8 o'clock.
Commissioner is busy. The man is busy today.
The man is busy today. Holy cow. He's out at the West Coast, out in Santa Clara on Monday night.
You know, you never know who's
National
watching.
National Football Foundation Hall of Fame dinner last night.
You never know who's watching or listening. I've always, you got to remind yourself of that when you're doing these shows.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you?
I got a message yesterday during the radio show of somebody who was listening. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Why is that?
Because he texted me. And I was like, oh, good hearing from you. I'm going to tease you with that. Let's go to Bristol. Smart people.
Josh, how about that? How about that tease from the Pac-Man this morning? So
first of all, who was it?
I don't know.
Not going to tell us. How about that? Just burying the state's evidence right there.
I'm just going to tell you this. It was a very, very influential person.
Okay.
Very influential.
There you have it.
Roddy.
I said influential.
Roddy. Wasn't Roddy then?
No.
Okay.
It's not Roddy Jones.
Come on. What's about Roddy Jones?
I said it was not Roddy Jones.
But it was influential.
It was influential.
Okay, Josh, ready? We'll do a quick Q&A here.
Career influential.
Like one of the top five people in college athletics?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, you ready to hop back into the Wayback Machine?
Yes. True.
Anytime I see a segment on the show called Check the Tape, I'm concerned.
Why?
Because I think we're going to show ourselves to be...
Why? Us screwing something up? Heaven forbid.
There you go. 516 of them, so almost 17 now. All right, let's go. What do we got?
Yeah, with football season in the books in terms of a regular season and conference championship perspective. Figured this was a good time to take a look back at some of your predictions. Our first one, we'll go back to September 16th, the week of the Virginia versus North Carolina game, where you guys were asked if the winner of that game would eventually win the ACC Coastal, keeping in mind that at that time, Carolina had an 18% chance, Virginia had a 12.5% chance, according to our friends at FPI.
The answer is false.
Your people.
No, the FBI is not my
your people.
No.
Your people have decided.
No.
I say false.
False.
The winner will not be the winner of the Coastal. Now, look, Chapel Hill, Charlottesville, you want to put that on the reel, run it in the football building. That's y'all's business. I'm just not convinced that the winner necessarily wins the division.
Right. There's so many options here that, right. that I'll just take the percentages, no disrespect, the right. FBI. That the winner could, obviously.
Yeah, but
I'm going to say, I'll bet the house and say I'll take the field.
Yeah, I think the way this looks, we may go to the last weekend.
Well, it's a shame they didn't run the tape and we both said, you know what, I think Pitt's going to win the whole freaking thing. Remember when you said that on the 16th of September? How'd that get cut off the tape?
All right. So we got one.
Remember that?
So we got one right.
I can't believe we let off. You know what that tells me?
That the rest of these are going to be train wrecks.
I mean, you know, we tease everybody. All right, we're going to go to the, you know, let's let Mark and Wes look like idiots, which is not surprising.
No.
And they lead off with one we got right, which means we're going to get bombarded the rest of the way.
That's it.
That's how that works.
Okay, Josh, I can hardly wait to hear all the wrong ones now.
Yeah, you guys are off to a good start, so we'll see what happens from here.
Yeah, we know how we've seen this movie before.
A couple weeks later, the date was September 29th. Mm. At that point in time, Clemson had scored just 14 points offensively in regulation in their two conference games. And you were asked, over under 30 points for Clemson in any ACC game this season.
I'll say over.
Let me give you the date.
Sure.
October 30th.
Oh, Florida State.
Yep.
I will go over as well. I'll make it easy. Tigers are going to get somebody one day, and offense is going. People are going to walk out of Frank Howard Field and go, where's that been?
Wait a minute now. I gave you the date.
October 30th.
It was Florida State.
Right.
They put 30 for the first time. Man, now, wait a minute. This is not what I expected. I thought we were going to look like fools more so on this.
Well,
so far,
probably,
we're 2-for-2.
It's probably still to come.
Yeah.
We're
getting set up on
Clemson,
this.
Clemson did get it right a couple times offensively.
Well, they got better as the year went
as
on.
As the year went on. And defense was always lock and key.
Yeah.
So they were good. Yeah. All right. So we're doing good. We're 2-for-2, Josh.
You guys are smarter than you think you are.
Not really.
All right, go ahead.
Here's the setup.
Here we go. Fastball in the eyes right here.
David Cutcliffe.
I don't know.
Roll the dice.
Let's take you back to October 7th. At that point, we were in the midst of coastal chaos and Atlantic anarchy, and you were asked if the winner of both divisions would finish with multiple losses in conference this season for the first time since 2008.
Nope. False. False.
I'm going to say false, too. I still think a 0 and a 1 in either column is going to make the championship game.
Yeah. Doesn't mean a 2 cannot, but I don't think both. We'll have 2.
I definitely don't think both, and I'm beginning to believe not just 1.
Well, apparently we're the smartest people in the world. What is going on here?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know. Look.
I mean, do you know how hard it must be for the smart people in Bristol?
To avoid?
To go through all the tape. This is 517 shows. And have to find 3 that we actually got right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much time it would have taken to get the final ones that we got wrong?
We're getting set up.
Well, just go to yesterday's show.
We're getting set up.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Okay, Macri.
So here's the thing. You guys always accuse me of being salty and not liking you guys and making fun of you guys.
I don't think we've ever said that. But
that'd be accurate.
I don't think we've said that specifically.
But over.
Yeah.
You have. We could mark the tape on that. But, I mean, can't help it. If you're right, you're right. And when it came to these season-long perspective questions, you were right more often than you were wrong. Mm. However, let's take you back to September 14th.
Here we go.
When Mateo Durant already had two games in which he had scored three touchdowns apiece, and you were asked whether or not he would have over or under two more multi-score games this season.
Over.
Way over.
Over.
Way over.
Mateo Durant, kids, he had three touchdowns and eight carries the other night.
Yeah, I mean, how's Duke going to score here? I mean, 21's going to get some touches. And guess what? He can catch the ball out of the backfield. The dude is a weapon.
Yeah, that might not have been accurate. I'll be honest with you. I didn't think Duke was going to be that bad.
I had the game the next week where he had a multi-touchdown game, and that was it. Northwestern was it.
Well, the second half of the season was tough, right? Really tough. I mean, tough defensively, and man, Duke just got waxed.
By the way, he announced on social media he's entering the draft.
He is a big time player, man.
Yeah, he is.
He's another one of those guys that's easy to root for. You get a chance to meet some of these guys, and man, 21 was a joy to watch play. And it was a tough year for Duke, but 21 he can ball.
Yep. All right, that was a big miss there.
I'll be honest with you, if you would have asked me that question again,
I'd have still said yes.
I would too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'd have just taken
your
chances.
You could ask me week 10, I would have said he'll have another one.
Amen.
And I just don't – it's one of the great mysteries, isn't it?
Duke just was a mess.
Yeah. So, all right, Josh, we're three up, one down.
So not only were you wrong on that one, but you would double down on being wrong again.
Yes.
Yeah, oh
true.
Yeah.
Yes. Over. I
like your commitment.
Oh, I would definitely – if you told me – he had three games left. I would tell you one of them would be a multi-touchdown game. Now, if you give me less than three, I might waver a little bit. But if you told me he's got three games left, one, he'll score more than one touchdown, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's that good.
Yeah. Agreed.
And I would say this, too. He and Jahmyr Gibbs, in different ways, the undervalued nature of what happened to them this year is, I mean, look, Mateo Durant had the single season rushing record, the Steve Jones mark from 1972, right? That we talked about last week. But those guys didn't get it nearly enough in that world. In Durant's case, it was more touchdowns. In Gibbs's case, more touches and success, period.
All right, what else we got?
All right. October 5th, at that point in time, Wake Forest was sitting at 19th. In the AP Top 25. They were the lowest of any undefeated team in the Power 5. And you guys were asked what the highest ranking for Wake Forest would be in this year's AP poll.
Yeah, I was wrong about this one.
Mm.
I'm going to give you 13 for Wake Forest.
I will go 10.
Say they crack the top 10.
I say they get to 10.
Mark the tape. They got to 9.
Well, they're 10 in AP, 9 in the playoff rank.
Well, there's only one poll that matters.
Oh,
that AP is something I wipe my feet with. Did the AP come out with who's in the Final Four? No, College Football Playoff poll did.
Trying to give Wes a little bit more credit there, because he nailed it at number 10.
I'm giving the AP no credit. They're a waste of time.
I'm getting no love here, Josh.
No, you're just spot on that.
Yeah, well, that means we're valuing the AP poll.
No, I mean, whether they were 9th or 10th doesn't matter.
Right.
You were accurate in your assessment of the Deacons' rise to fame.
Thanks.
During the season.
All right, do we have one more here?
We have one more. We will go all the way back to the beginning, September 7th with Clemson. Remember a little game called Bark or Bite? This is when...
True.
Over.
Remember.
True. This is before we determined that Bark or Bite was too complicated for you guys. And I asked you guys, Bark or Bite, Clemson will hold opponents to under 300 yards per game on the season. This was after they held Georgia to 256 in the season opener.
Hmm.
Bite. Biting. I think they're great. I think that defensive group is really good.
300 per game?
Yeah. Yep. From what I've seen in week one, I'm going to have to bite.
I'll bite.
You know what?
We didn't miss by much, though.
It's December the 8th, and I still don't know the rules to bark or bite. I don't know if we were right or wrong. I still don't know how that works.
Well, bite meant we didn't think.
Okay. I'm teasing with you.
By the way, we were close. We thought about it a long time because that's how good they – had they stayed healthy, do you think they would have broken 300?
Without question. Crazy. And they weren't healthy, and they still were tremendous. And I still think they're – right now – I thought they were playing better than anybody else in the league.
At the end?
As of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't have the belt. Pitt's got the belt. It's all about hardware. It's all about scoreboard.
Josh, that was excellent. Thank you for your good work.
I'm surprised we got as many right as we did.
Yeah. Hit most of them.
Because I can think of a ton that we were dead wrong about. A ton.
All right. Throw one out there before we go to break.
How many times did we go to North Carolina and Miami?
Summer?
Yes.
Oh, awful.
Huh?
Awful.
Both of us.
Awful.
North Carolina, Miami. North Carolina, Miami. That's all we're going to talk about in the coast.
All the time.
And everybody's sitting on the couch watching Pitt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We were dead wrong about Clemson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
Dead wrong about Clemson.
Right. So
I did have NC State second.
Oh, there's a slow clap.
Whatever that matters.
That's accurate.
I didn't have Wake first, though.
No, that's my point. I mean, there's so many things, and that's why I love making fun of us screwing up picks. Because I say it all the time. Nobody in the media knows anything about anything in the middle of the summer.
That's it.
We have no earthly idea how it's going to play out. Michigan, for example, was unranked in the infamous AP poll for the season.
Right. And
guess what? They're in the Final Four.
But you go through that every August when you always remind us there's somebody outside the poll that ends up in the poll
in the top 10.
And somebody in the poll that falls out.
Right.
Like every year.
Every stinking year.
And this year it's what? Carolina and Michigan, right?
Well, North Carolina, was 10. And Iowa State were two preseason top 10 teams that you can't sniff.
Man, I loved Iowa State before the season started.
I did too. Why wouldn't you?
Jeez.
I like North Carolina before the season started. Sitting there at 6-6.
I'm telling you something, too. Let me turn some lights on here. Iowa State draws Clemson in the bowl game.
1st of 10 wins.
Ooh.
Mark the tape.
Yep. When we come back. Josh, thank you. Good work. Appreciate everybody helping us out on that and going back through the vast tape archives of the Packers.
We're going to go back in the past later in the show. We're going back into the past in this show.
Literally. We are?
Yes, we are.
I don't know that I have that on here.
Well, you might want to do a little work.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
What do you got, huh? What are you doing?
I'm just talking out loud.
Yeah, you are. We got a lot going on today.
Throwing ideas up against the wall.
Oh, my God.
Always something.
Tonight, Mike Young and Virginia Tech welcome Cornell to Castle Coliseum. And in doing so, the Hokies continue their journey in Coach Young's third year. After coming through COVID, Virginia Tech has an all-ACC performer in Keve Aluma, but they got some other pieces too. But it's been up and down, scheduling and everything else. They played Memphis and Xavier had a moment, then a tough loss on Saturday to Wake Forest. We had Coach Young with us yesterday, and we started our visit by asking him, what did you learn Saturday in a home loss to the Demon Deacons?
We've got a long way to go after Saturday's game against Wake Forest. Wake Forest is much improved, as I knew they would be. Coach Forbes is very, very good. We go back a long way, as you both know. Mm-hmm. We've had some good moments. Went to Navy. They were better than I expected them to be. They're good and won up there. You know, winning at Maryland, I think anytime you do that is a feather in your cap. Now you come back here to begin league play against Wake Forest, and they're off to a really nice start, 7-1, I think, coming into our game, and they fanned us, and we weren't very good, and they had a lot to do with that. We weren't as connected as we've been through the early portion of the schedule, but we practiced very well yesterday, needed to practice very well yesterday, and I've got a good team, fellas. We're going to be fine. Saturday's experience was humbling and eye-opening. We aren't as good as maybe some of us thought we were, and there is plenty of work to do.
Coach, I watched your games against Memphis and Xavier, which I thought were really good tests because those are good clubs.
And you had a chance to win both, but you didn't. But I thought the toughness factor came into play with your game at Maryland. I thought down the stretch, I saw your team actually grow from the week before by being tested by Memphis and Xavier. And that certainly helped you, number one, in that environment and against
a
good club.
We did, Mark, and that was encouraging to see. At Maryland, down seven, they had the ball twice in the second half. And we stiffened up. We're very good defensively going down the stretch. Hunter Couture was very good. I thought Keve Aluma in the second half was the Keve Aluma of old, and he carried that over into Saturday's game against Wake Forest. Wish we could have had. Those are two great opportunities in Brooklyn to win. Didn't play very well against Memphis. We find ourselves up late under four. And don't make enough plays going down the stretch. And the Xavier game's kind of the same way. The Xavier game, we simply didn't play well enough to win. But I've seen some encouraging signs through our first nine. But, again, as I said earlier, this team is still finding its way. And we have, a lot of mountains to climb around here in Blacksburg.
I know you've got a kind of an interesting stretch here where it's Cornell and then a road trip to Dayton, Duke on a conference schedule on the road, Carolina on the road a week later. I mean, it's a pretty challenging little finish here to the 21 calendar before you even get into 22. What are the kind of punch list items for your team right now?
Just continue to get better, Wes. This Cornell game is, tricky. They're number one in the country in pace of play. Can't tell you how many games I've seen here over the last couple of days when an opponent makes a basket and they've got the ball up the floor and it's in the air in less than 3 seconds or 3 seconds. So that'll be a challenge. You know, Dayton struggled early and has come back and has played very good basketball. I haven't seen very much of Dayton at all. Saw them in Florida. I think their exhibit tournament was in Florida when they beat Kansas and a very good Belmont team. St. Bonaventure, we all know how good they are. And then, into the throes of ACC play at Duke, at North Carolina. I don't know what I did to Brazo to deserve that, but that's what we have, and we'll go down there. And, we got a lot of improvements to make around here, and we're on our way. We're going to be fine when it matters most, and I look forward to those days.
Coach, I'll tell you what, I think that non-conference schedule only helps you. Mm-hmm. I do. And just like I mentioned with the Memphis and Xavier games, you know what? It's good to get tested. It's good to get your nose bloodied and get a sense of, okay, this is what it's all about. We're going to be ready to play. And you mentioned, I watched the Dayton-Kansas game. That was an incredible game. And last second shot bounces in. We know the Bonnies are really good. They've been ranked this year. They beat Clemson coming from way behind. You mentioned Cornell, what they bring to the table. Enough was said with Duke and Carolina. So there's nothing easy about December. I think that's only going to make you better in January and February.
Mark, I hope it plays out in our favor. That was by design. I have a good team, all right? I knew that coming into the season. I did not want to miss an opportunity in March, whatever might lie ahead for our team. I never want to miss something because, we didn't schedule properly. Now, did I schedule, was it too rugged? Time will tell. But we're certainly testing our team with this non-league, play. Memphis, Dayton, at Maryland, ACC Big Ten Challenge. Dayton's really good. St. Bonaventure's really good in a neutral game in Charlotte. So I hope you're right. I think you are. Time will tell.
All right. I want to ask you real quick here about Storm Murphy because, to me, Storm Murphy is going to be a story of your team. Obviously, he played for you at Wofford. He's transferred to Virginia Tech. But he's the kind of guy, if he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not on your team, you hate him. Is that a fair characterization of how good he can be?
Storm Murphy. Who's the player, Mark? Wes, I'm sorry.
Storm Murphy.
Stormer, we go way back. And that kid had two really good years for me at Wofford. Wanted to come here for his COVID year, whatever you call it. And is still trying to find his way. I think we all are, Wes, at this point in the season. There are a lot of teams that are trying to get, and that's going to be ongoing with you know, the transfer portal and everything that that we're dealing with, and you're bringing new pieces in, you know, trying to get those guys, you know, all on the same page and meshed together. We're going to figure that out. He is the best kid in the world to coach. He's a very good basketball player, has not found his rhythm offensively. I've got to do a better job with that, but he will and we will, and I expect that that transformation to come about here pretty quickly.
It's the Red Storm of Cornell. Not the Red Storm of Cornell.
Well, I'll tell you Cornell? What, Cornell's
a big got red. A, the big red of Cornell.
They got a decent team. This will be another good test. I mean, Virginia. I'm still buying Virginia Tech, despite what happened to them at home against Wake Forest. I think this is a good basketball.
Yeah, Hokies, I was looking at some of the analytics last night. I mean, there are some – it's hard to surmise, and again, it's been a tough non-conference run for the ACC as a whole. We all know Duke's the highest-rated team in the ACC and that kind of thing. But the part about it is some of these games, like the Cornell games, and, you know, they're about singular improvement games. And Mike Young sees that. I think he's a guy that knows kind of where the league is. But you look at Virginia Tech – their league projection is 12-8. And again, we're going to get back to that conversation we've had last year and the year before that. It's going to matter about your rotation once you get in the league, right?
It normally does. Mm-hmm. And this year will be no exception. But if Virginia Tech basketball was a stock, I'm going to buy.
Yeah. Keve Aluma, by the way, is still having a very, very quality start to his season in terms of a high level. He's still one of the most efficient players in all of college basketball through the first nearly month, if you will, of the regular season.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.